podcast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
These conversations are raw, explicit,
and contain adult themes and content.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Hey folks, it's Tim. Well, we finished recording the episode and we forgot to do Tan Laughs again. So, I'm doing them now before the show.
Tan Laughs!
These Tan Laughs were sent in by Chelsea, who calls them some corny Tan Laughs via the Vlog Brothers. What is the difference between a cat and a complex sentence? One has its claws at the end of its paws, the other has its paws at the end of its claws. Yeah. What's the difference between the moon and Julius Caesar? The moon is rocky and full of craters. Julius Caesar is dead. What type of cell phones do nuns use? Virgin Mobile. And lastly, why was the sand wet? Because of the seaweed. What? Shouldn't have saved that one for last. I don't get it. Well, nailed it. Enjoy the show. Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
Dankcast.
Hi, I'm Tim Babb. I'm a stand-up comedian. My job is to make people laugh. But you know who makes me laugh? My two old roommates, Andy and Noah. We used to live together in a tan house, so now we get together every week and do this Tan Cast. This week, Andy has a serious topic about religion and raising children, Noah tries Taco Bell's breakfast, I get surprised by my friends in San Francisco, and we do a condensed worst movie ever tournament round where it's Caligula versus the Love Guru. And when you hear this sound, that means there's a link to whatever we're talking about in the show notes. Okay, let's start the show.
Tancast.
Welcome to Tancast.
Welcome.
You're here.
I'm Tim, the T in Tancast.
I'm Andy, the A in Tancast.
I'm Noah, the N in Tancast. And when you hear this sound, it means one of us is dying.
Oh, dibs. You have no idea how close I came to texting you guys in the middle of the night that this wasn't happening today.
Oh, is it back?
I've been texting Andy and Noah all week with, hey, here are my stool problems.
I got 99 problems and my shitting is one.
My shitting is 15. So, like, I have almost 48 hours of just the liquid Niagara Falls diarrhea. And then, like, I was cut off. No more shitting for you for the next almost 2 days. And then it was spotty, at best, but... Man, stomach pain all over my stomach. And, like, last night it was really bad. And I was like, I have to cancel Tancast tomorrow and go to urgent care because this is not acceptable.
You hear that, body? This is not acceptable.
Unacceptable!
As I told my wife, my new plan is just to not eat anything anymore. And then I think that the problem will solve itself.
Well, yeah, because you'll be dead.
Yes, Tim, in a month, your ass goblin will begin to purge again, and it'll be okay.
Well, at least I'll be thin, Noah.
Is that really what you're worried about?
Yep, I'll be most athletic, or anorexic. I can't remember which of the two.
I think anorexic. Athletic, no.
Aren't anorexics really athletic?
I don't Maybe. Think so, because I don't have enough energy to do anything.
Yeah, but you just pick them up, and you throw them down the javelin thing, and they go really far.
Yeah.
It's very aerodynamic and sleek.
Uh-huh.
They may be most javelin-like, then.
Oh, okay. I'll take it. Whatever gets me the gold. That's all I care about.
So, Tim,
I don't think they share the gold.
Don't let the judges see you do it, but feed your anorexic one bean, and the farts will carry them further.
No more beans. No beans. There are no beans happening. I had bean dip yesterday at the party, and I think that might have been part of the problem.
Ooh. Lovely.
Bean dip does what bean dip does, and mm-hmm. my intestines were like, I don't know.
Then they do what they do.
Oh, you wanted us to be balloons? Okay.
Reunited, and it felt so good.
I don't know why.
So for the last 2 weeks, Andy has wanted to hop on some topic about, I think it's religion, but I could be wrong. And we keep running out of time, so I wanted to bring it up at the beginning.
Oh. So,
I apologize to Andy's topic. We ran out of time.
So here's Andy's topic.
Hey,
So this week I saw Pacific Rim, and it's a good movie. It's monsters and robots and... Okay, so...
That was your topic?
No.
He's fucking with us.
Yes.
Oh, that was almost nonsensical.
It's entirely nonsensical.
Oh, okay, good.
I mean, unless you worship at the church of Guillermo del Toro, as I do. So a couple of weeks ago, my wife was showing me off some presents that she was going to get for our new nephew, or she was going to give to our new nephew.
Right.
And then she also had picked up some stuff for our son. So, like, some of the things I could tell which one was which by, like, size, because Drew's almost six, and our nephew's 3 months old. But then there was other stuff, like, there was one that's, like, I think it was, like, baby's first book of Bible stories or something like that. I was like, oh, tell me that's for our nephew. And I don't think she was happy with that. So that's kind of sparked into a debate about, the fact that she's definitely lost a lot of the faith that she grew up with. I mean, her health problems and other stuff that's gone on, you know, in both in the world at large and just, you know, within our families, have kind of led her to seriously doubt that there is any, omnibenevolent, omnipotent force governing over all of our lives, and that this really might just be the random morass that it appears to be. And you guys know how I feel about all that stuff now. But she was pretty adamant about wanting to make sure that our kid, even if we didn't believe it, still believed in things like God and heaven and all the rest of that stuff. And I kind of felt like she was doing that because it's what her family would want of her, and because her brother, who is super religious and works for a super religious school, and her parents, who are pretty religious as well, pretty seriously religious and very not happy with the hearing about how we didn't go to church this Sunday and last Sunday and the Sunday before that and the Sunday before that, etc. And I was kind of like, you know what? I mean, he's our son. We should raise him in the fashion that we think makes most sense in this world, not just to placate your parents. And her point was that she felt like, you know, raising him to believe in God and heaven and everything was reassuring, you know, that it's, that then he doesn't grow up in a world of uncertainty and questions and feeling like, you know, when somebody dies, they're just gone. And, you know, that finality, that there's continuity for him so that he doesn't get all anxious, I guess, about things like death. Because he asks, and we've talked about this before, but he asks a lot of questions about death. So I don't know, I guess I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about it in public in front of all dozen of our listeners and see what you thought about this, because I kind of still feel like I'm on the side of, well, okay, so a little bit of context around this. I'm also not like super comfortable with the fact that we still present, gotta talk a little quieter because the door's open now. I've got to pretend like Santa's real. The way I was raised, and I was raised very, very religious, but I was still raised by my parents at sort of like a wink and a nod at Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and all that stuff. Like there was a, oh yeah, you know, wink, Santa got you those presents. Mommy and Daddy wrapped them with the same paper that everything else is wrapped in, but Santa, wink, got you those presents. So like, I don't remember a time when I thought Santa was real. I don't remember a time when I thought the Easter Bunny was real or that the Tooth Fairy was anything but, you know, kind of a cultural construct that we all sort of smiled and nodded politely about.
No wonder you're so joyless.
Possible.
As an adult.
It's possible.
Oh, thanks for the money under my tooth, Dad. Thanks for participating in this social construct. Can I have some Toasted O's now?
Fuck you, Toasted O's are delicious.
Are you going to watch Saturday morning cartoons, son?
No, I believe that the McLaughlin group is on, and we'll be watching that.
Oh, fuck you, dude. I watched the shit out of some Saturday morning cartoons.
After the McLaughlin group was over.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying. However,
I want to hear them debate taxes.
Well, you know what? Fiscal policy is important to six-year-olds.
And then your brother's like, taxes? That's the Longhorn State.
Well, we talked over each other's jokes. Listeners, you can choose which one is better. Probably Tim's.
Spoiler alert, Tim's.
Skip ahead to 20 minutes to pick Andy's joke as the funniest. Skip ahead to 25 to pick Tim's joke as the funniest.
Now let's sit here quietly for 20 minutes.
Well, I mean...
So, please, like, tell me how to raise my child.
So her point is that, you know, because death is a scary thing, you should teach him about religion because then he'll have something to look forward to. Like, is that the thrust of her point?
It is one of many, but yes.
I mean, I guess all the boils down to what you do believe in, but I don't think you should necessarily sugarcoat something just because it's unpleasant to think about, right? Like, I don't... Like, maybe now is not the time, but I don't think, like, that does anyone a service to say, oh, you could end up in heaven if you don't actually believe that's true.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, son of a bitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Wake up, you piece of shit. Sorry.
Did we just lose part of the episode?
We may have just lost a little bit of audio because my computer just decided to go sleepies for no fucking reason again.
Andy's angry.
I hope we didn't lose any of Andy's long talk.
Oh, you should have heard me on Thursday, but we'll get back to that.
Oh, Christ. Anyway.
fails. Failure is not an option. It's mandatory. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm advocating for telling my son, well, you know, when you die, it's like the lights go out, and then you got your choices. You can be your meat can be burned, or you can be stuffed in the ground to rot, and the worms will come and eat your eyeballs, and nothing else happens for you, and eventually people will forget about you, because that's the nature of humanity. You know, there's been billions and billions of billions of people, and only a few, you know, 100 or 1,000 names have really been recorded, and even for a lot of them, our knowledge of what their lives were like is spotty, so, you know, for the most part, from dust you came, and from to dust you shall return. And you were nameless before you were born. You'll be nameless again after you die.
Basically, what you do in this world doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you like try to kill all the Jews or cure cancer or something. Those are pretty much your only options for embossing your name on history. And even then, you know, in a few thousand years, people are probably still going to forget you.
I mean, I don't know if this is a bad strategy for raising kids. Like, you know. If letting them know what, you know, multiple people think, like some people think this, some people think that, like, I don't know if that's like too confusing for a child.
I've tried to do a bit of that. I feel like it's sort of a bit of a guerrilla war effort on my part. Like I'm coming back in behind other people and being like, oh no, some people think that your soul gets recycled. Other people think that nothing happens.
But what does Tim think?
I think I may be confusing him with options, to be frank.
Tim or your child?
Well, both.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, presenting too many options to a kid who's too young to understand what pretty much any of them mean seems like a bit much to me. Like, obviously, once he gets older and, like, there's more room for, you know, him to process it and you're like, oh, well, okay, some people think this, some people think that. Because, I mean, the first question I think every kid has once they realize there's more than one religion is like, well, wait, how do we know ours is right? And there is no good answer for that.
Tradition.
Like, oh, well, what makes the Muslims wrong? They're brown.
Well, since it's because we like the Jews, because they're more pleasant, I guess.
Well, why aren't the Jews right?
Well, we thought that they were right for a while, and then we thought that they all decided to stop paying attention and other stuff happened. So, yeah, the Jews were right up to a point. We still like them.
I may not be the person to ask this because we're raising Michael in the faith. The faith that Danelle and I are... I want to speak for Danelle. I'm certainly a little... I don't believe it in terms of like, oh, okay, so... What's written down in this book is what happened, and everything goes along with that. But I believe there's something to it. I just don't know what it is. So I figure we'll teach it to him, and he can make his own decision about what is there and what isn't.
Spoken like a true Californian, Tim.
Yeah, bro. I mean, like, whatever, bro.
Let's just go surfing, man.
Who knows what happens and stuff, man.
We're just energy trying to catch a wave.
We're just particles of stardust, man.
We're just dicks looking for a vagina.
Except for the vaginas. They're just looking for dicks. Sometimes they're looking for other vaginas. And sometimes dicks looking for other dicks. Sometimes
looking for you.
Sometimes a dick wants to be a vagina. Sometimes a vagina wants to be a dick.
Sometimes the vagina wants to be with a vagina and someone else wants to film it. And that's magic.
Sometimes a dick doesn't want to be a vagina or a dick at all. It just wants to be.
Om.
Deep cast.
Yeah. When Andy said, I got this thing I want to talk about, I didn't know he meant it was going to be this overly serious shit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
While you were talking, Andy, I was just thinking, boobies, 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 boobies.
Why don't you put this in your own podcast called No One Listening?
Oh,
it's already in our No One Listening podcast.
Oh, burn to you, Tim.
Why is that a burn to me? He's on it, too.
I know.
So are you.
I'm used to people not listening to me.
What?
Oh.
I'm used to people not listening to me.
Huh?
I mean, I think, you know, whatever you decide, the most important thing is, like, you and Caitlin need to be on board. Like, I think it's more confusing if you guys try to teach
fight about
different...
it in front of him.
Yeah. Yes. So, whatever that may be, and, you know, I mean, it's tough to say, like, you know, I guess, you know, Caitlin still believes, right? Or believes more than Andy does.
I would say at this point, Caitlin feels obligated to believe. So, like, Caitlin feels guilty about not believing, but I don't think,
well,
I don't
mean,
think
that,
she really believes anymore.
I mean, that's definitely not a good reason to do something. Like,
but then, like, again, that's your assessment of how she believes.
It really is. I mean...
Man!
Yeah. What? What was that?
I said, man!
What is that?
That was me making a noise of disapproval.
Oh, that's weird.
All right, Marge.
You're weird. Take that.
This is true. We don't know exactly how she feels.
Yeah. I don't know that she knows exactly how she feels. I don't know that I know exactly how I feel.
It's a great story.
Yeah. Well, I've referred to myself as agnostic, which means I don't give a shit. I've referred to myself as atheist, which means I don't think that there is. Like, I will positively say that I do not believe that there is any higher power, that there is anything supernatural. And it's sort of like I've gone back and forth on exactly how I precisely want to express my lack of faith.
I mean, also, like, if you think about it, like, you know, sure, we die, you cease to exist, but, you know, it doesn't mean you have no purpose anymore, right? Like, you know, you break down, you go into the soil, you'll feed a tree, you know, you get back absorbed into the universe, right?
I want to be encased in concrete. Fuck those trees. I want to nourish nothing.
So, I mean, I guess that, you know, if you don't believe in God, that's some comfort. It's like, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't cease to be.
Yeah, show him the Lion King.
Yeah.
Explain all that shit.
Yeah, Disney did it for you. Why are you trying to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, exactly. Fucking that shit made a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
The market has spoken.
Circle of meat.
Show them up.
Oh. You know what happens? You get into a relationship, and then she dies, and that shit is sad.
Just play the, what's his name, Louis C.K. bit.
I don't know, like, what bit you're talking about.
Oh, wait. He's talking about... Somehow he talks about death, and he talks about, you know, oh, I think his daughter is asking if the sun's going to explode, if the sun will always be there, or something like that.
I'm talking to her. She goes, Daddy, does the earth go around the sun? And I was like, yeah. She goes, does it do it all the time? I'm like, yeah. She says, will the earth always go around the sun forever? And I was like, well, no, at some point the sun's going to explode. She's 7 years old! Do you understand how horrible that is? She started crying immediately. Crying bitter tears for the death of all humanity. And here's how I tried to save it. I go, oh, honey, this isn't going to happen until you and everybody you know has been dead for a very long time. She didn't know any of those things. And now she knows all of those things. She's going to die. Everybody she knows is going to die. They're going to be dead for a very long time. And then the sun's going to explode. She learned all that in 12 seconds. At the age of 7. She took it pretty well. I was proud of her. She was like, oh, dude. Okay, well, I guess I'll go play.
And he goes, oh, no, it's going to explode, you know, someday. But you won't be around to see that. and like, he basically tells her, like, your sun's going to explode. The earth's going to get wiped out. Everyone he knows is going to, everyone she knows is going to die. And, like, the matter of, like, five minutes. It's funny, but you should listen to him say, he does it much better than I do. That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
That's hard to believe. I mean, that was comedy.
I know.
I had a similar conversation with my son. Completely unaware that Louis C.K. had already done it for me, and I should have just played that track because he probably did it better. Drew asked me if the sun would always be there. And I was like, well, no, it's going to burn out eventually, and it'll swallow the earth. And he's like, what? And, like, he looks outside. I was like, no, not like now.
You should listen to Louis C.K. bit then.
Like, there's not going to be people around anymore by the time that happens. I mean, there could be, like, our children's children's children, but they're not going to be – you wouldn't recognize them as people anymore. In the same way that you don't recognize monkeys as people. Actually, way more than that. In the same way that you don't recognize, like, single cells floating in ponds as life. Like, you would not look at that and think, oh, that's me.
You're that's blowing helpful. His little mind.
I was like, this could not have been helping.
No.
Oh, I get it now, Dad. Thanks.
Yes. So we're going to get bigger? No. Maybe we'll reach for the stars. Maybe we'll nuke ourselves to death. Apparently, that's what Putin wants to do. Who's Putin? Oh. I should stop talking.
Oh,
God
look.
Is real. Jesus
That's
loves you.
That's a general
you.
Life lesson.
God is real. Jesus loves you. Great grandma's in heaven.
Want to get some ice cream? Just throw that out there. You know, obviously there's no easy answer, Andy. Life sucks. Get a helmet.
That is definitely a lesson I'm trying to impart into him.
But then, yeah, maybe our listeners are, you know, maybe some of our listeners are struggling with the same thing, ones who have kids. I mean, I don't have kids, so. And Tim has kids, but, you know, he's one of the religious slants. So maybe there's another couple out there who's, like, in the same position as you guys.
I would not say Tim right has in. Kids. I would say Tim has kid and seedling.
Oh, all right. He has more kids.
Thank you, commenters, for keeping that under wraps, by the way. I said thank you, commenters, for keeping that, or listeners, I guess I should say, for keeping that under wraps. But specifically, the ones who comment didn't say, anything specific that would have been spoilery.
Ah, very nice.
Because my wife has decided not to tell Facebook for some reason, so.
Oh. Well, good thing I'm not on Facebook, or else I might have already spilled those beans.
Our 200s of listeners know, but Facebook, fuck you.
Yes.
I tried. Are we still talking about your thing, Andy?
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Why does your computer keep going to sleep?
I have no fucking idea.
There's
I've
a little
not
app.
Asked it to.
There's a little app called Caffeine that you can download and turn on, and it'll keep your computer from going to sleep as long as it's on.
All right, we got a lot more ground to cover today. Let's get fucking back to it. I got to leave for work in 24 minutes.
Eddie, are we still talking about your thing there, buddy?
No, we're done. Right. We get it. Religion, it's hard. Think about it. Kids, rough.
Yes.
How the fuck was everyone's week? Was it good times or was it bleak? We'll find out on our very next segment. How was your motherfucking week?
I had a religious experience. I had...
All right, fuck it. Forget it. Go back to Andy's topic.
Were you masturbating?
I had Taco Bell breakfast.
And how's your anus?
Perfectly fine. I took a nice solid poop this morning.
Oh, nice.
That's funny. I was almost going to go to Taco Bell for breakfast the morning that my diarrhea started. I didn't, but I guess just the thought of it was enough.
I got the waffle taco.
Oh, how was that?
It was pretty good. I would say it'd be nice if they could somehow bake the sweetness syrup into the waffle. But other than that, it was, you know, it's pretty solid, pretty solid. Also the Crunchwrap AM one. It was pretty good. Although so as I get older, I don't know if it's just me losing my taste for fast food, where it's like I kind of enjoy it, but I kind of don't. I'm like, this is not bad, but it's kind of gross too.
That's your fucking hippie city living.
Yep. It's all that quinoa.
It's all the real food I'm
this
eating.
This tastes like bullshit.
This is some, I don't know if this is actually bacon, but here's some delicious bacon that just came off that pig over there. Wave at him, Steve. He's still alive.
Steve the pig?
Yeah.
It's okay. He's going to grow it back. This is a much...
Fat back.
So this is sort of semi-vegan. We call it meat grazing, where we just take a little bits of the animal and then let it heal.
We just shave it off. Just let it heal up.
Just a thin strip. They're never going to notice. A couple of sutures, a little bit of iodine, a little bit of lidocaine. They're fine.
So, yes, it was pretty good. I still think, out of all of them, I prefer McDonald's breakfast. The sausage egg McMuffin. Nothing beats that for me. Yeah, different strokes for different folks.
I stroke my dick.
I think my favorite breakfast thing ever was when McDonald's had the... They had like, they had these little tiny sausage burritos, but it wasn't that. It was like a big burrito that had like potatoes and sausage and salsa in it. And I can't remember what it was called now. McSkillet burrito, I think. Delicious.
I still miss the big breakfast burritos that place around the corner from where Tim and I used to live made.
I don't think I ever had a breakfast burrito there.
They were huge.
Oh, you're talking about La Victoria?
Yes.
Yes, with the orange sauce?
Yes.
I think I did comedy there once.
I think there's one in Redwood City, isn't there, Tim? When we were walking around that one time, did I point out to you?
You might have. You said a lot of shit.
Some of it I wasn't paying attention to. You know, I want to know how Tim's week was, maybe specifically last Saturday.
I've been wondering, because you guys made some kind of... Well, I got plans, but they're not Easter plans. Cock teasers.
So, little did I know, Noah, my wife, my mom, and a bunch of our friends had been planning a surprise thing for me for months.
I mean, it's not like the whole month we were like, all right, let's meet up today. Let's go over our logistics.
Everyone form the circle.
I assume that's exactly how it happened. So, you know those games online like Escape the Room or Escape the Phone Booth or things like that? Andy?
I think so, maybe.
Or iPhone really? Games.
Oh, yeah, really? Where it's like you click around, you got to find things and like put them in and...
Exactly.
And uncover clues and... Yes.
So there's a real-life version of that in San Francisco where 11 people get put in a room and you got to figure out how to escape.
Huh. And if you don't, does a crazy little puppet come on screen and tell you how you're going to die?
You are not the first to make that joke, and you probably won't be the last.
All right.
I was making Saw jokes as soon as they told me what we were doing.
Did you have any idea that anything was up?
No, I thought, like, okay, so the pretense they lured me to San Francisco with was Noah was introducing me to his friend Annie. And so I thought we were just going to go, hang out, meet Annie. And then as soon as we were done having drinks, I thought we're all going to go our separate ways. Like, Noah left, and I was like, oh, okay.
So did you think it was odd that we just had one drink and then we were getting up to leave?
No, not at all. I was like, well, I figured you had other shit to do. You're always busy.
But I would think it was odd that, like, if I drove all the way to, like, to see you, and we had one drink for like, what, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then we're like, peace.
Noah, the fact that Tim didn't think that's odd, I think, means you need to take a look in the mirror.
I was like, all right, well, I guess we're done. Where are we walking? Is he walking us to our car? Or are we walking to him to wherever he's going next? And then, like, Noah pulls out this piece of paper. I'm like, oh, what you got there? He's like, don't worry about it, buddy. I was like, oh, that's weird. And even then, still, I didn't go, like, well, clearly this is some sort of surprise for me.
Noah's being secretive. Maybe it's an orgy.
I was like, all right, whatever Noah's doing next, he doesn't want me to know about it. That's fine. And then, I also didn't notice that Danelle stopped talking to Annie, and just Noah and Danelle were talking. And so I'm just hanging back talking to Annie. We're just rapping back and forth. Hey, what's up? this thing and the other thing and, oh, what's about stuff and things. And then we're walking, and then there's like a little street festival, and I'm dancing around to the street festival. Yeah. And Annie goes, I love how she's not even paying attention, speaking of Danelle, of how Tim is dancing through the streets like an idiot. And little did I know, it's not that she was used to me being an idiot and wasn't paying attention. She was just focused on trying to find the place.
Any other day, it would have been, oh, yeah, Tim's being an idiot in public. Okay.
Yeah.
So, left turn.
She would have like, sometimes she would have been like, stop. I beg you to stop. what if I give you a quarter to stop?
To which Tim would have replied, stop. Hammer time.
I'll have sex with you again. How about that?
And we're stopping.
So, anyway, then we got there, and it was cool. And like, we got there, and I was like, hey, that's Jeff and Miranda. Hey, there's Stephanie and Zach. All our friends happen to be here. How weird.
And I was like, oh, you're at the Cherry Blossom Festival too? That's so random.
Apparently it takes a lot for me to actually smell a conspiracy.
You would not have made a good Caesar.
No, and I guess we can't do a lot of spoilers about what it was, but man, it was cool. Like, so they put you in the room, they give you like these rules, which, okay, if they're listening, I'm sorry. No, yeah, I gotta say it. The woman who speaks kind of broken English is probably not the person to give us the rules. I understand America, diversity, red, white, and blue, but the amount of times it was like a Little John song. What? What?
Okay.
What?
I think the woman giving you a lot of talking and giving you instructions should not be. Yeah, should. Be able to speak pretty clearly. Like, you know, sure, yeah, I can understand, you know, say, hear things there. But, yeah, if they're giving you a lot of information at once, yeah, I definitely agree that, yeah, she was not, like, the best person. But, you know, we muddled through. It was not the worst thing. I mostly understood what she was saying most of the time.
Yeah. But, so she gives us the rules, like, you can't, like, use the tools to take apart the furniture. You can't rip things apart. But then, like, okay, so you got to go in there and you got to find stuff that's hidden, and then you got to like assemble stuff and you got to solve all these clues. And there was like a whole separate room we had. Like once we were in there, like can we even say this? Probably. There was a whole separate room you had to open in order to get out of there. And like, oh man! And once we finally opened that second room, it was just all like, ah, there's one more thing to do. Ah! I don't know if I can convey how intense it all was.
I mean, well, yeah, so it was funny because, like, the first 20 minutes felt like they went by pretty slow. Then after that, it was just like, holy, wait, we only have that much longer left? Like, you felt like time was just starting to fly by.
And they say, like, okay, work together and, you know, make a plan and make sure everybody has their own tasks. And we're like, yeah, we totally understand what you're saying. And then as soon as we get in there, blah, everybody's running every this way and that way, and no one's really – there's no plan. It was just randomness.
But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like, it was – I did not know it was going to be that good. I was like, oh, that was super fun. Hello?
That's good.
Hi. Yeah, it was. Oh, okay. Super fun.
Sorry. I'm sorry we did not race to agree with you right away there, Noah.
No, well, also my computer went to sleep at the same time. Oh.
God damn it!
Mine is fine, though. Mine's still recording.
Okay.
Fuck, let's just get over with. So, yeah, it was good and things happened. Next week, bye.
If you are in the city or you have one near you, you should try it out. It's a lot of fun. And we had, was there nine of us? Eight of us? Eight of us. And one girl who knew none of us.
Oh, I felt bad for her. Because, like, they just put 11 random people together. We just happened to have a really big group. So, like, and there was supposed to be two other random people in the group, but I guess they never showed up. So this poor woman's like,
And we're all just like, hey, how's it going, buddy? How you doing? Oh.
Inside story? Yeah, but inside jokes? Good times. Shorthand speak? Great.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of good moments where you, like, you figure something out and you're like, aha! You know, you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Although there was, I mean, like, there's actual, like, you know, trying to find stuff in the room, and then there's actually using that stuff to actually solve clues. Yes. There was one part that Noah turns to me and goes, my mind is kind of blown right now.
That part was pretty cool.
It was the most sincere look on his face. He's like, my mind is kind of blown right now. And the sad part is, like, we were nowhere close. We didn't escape. Like, they said, like, at the time we went there, there was, like, 1,000 people had tried it. And they said, 18 people escaped. Are you guys going to be the 19th? And going in, we're like, yeah. And they were like, we weren't.
We had to get, like, there's two people in there that kind of watch to make sure, A, you don't break stuff. But also, they will start to give you clues as the game progresses, like if they, you know, your clothes or it's starting to get close to the end. And
okay,
so, like,
everyone,
yeah,
we're going to play hot and cold right now.
They did that.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
they're like, everything you're doing is wrong. Stop it.
yeah, and so, yeah, we couldn't have figured out on our own. I mean, maybe we had enough time, but there's a couple key things that we were not getting, and I don't know if we would have on our own.
If we had a couple days and some meal and nap breaks, we might have been able to get it done.
But I think now that we know, kind of like, we've done it once, I think we hopefully would do better.
Hopefully. Like, one of the things was, like, because, you know, they have the people in there, and, like, anytime you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, they're like, hey, don't do that. So then we were messing with something, and, like, I was like, oh, guys, you're breaking it. And then I realized I was the only one saying it. They weren't. And I was like, oh, I should have said something. We should have kept going, because later on there was a clue in that thing that we were messing with. If we just kept messing with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it spoiler free.
Right.
But I was, so like, Jeff had like messed up this thing, and like, I was like, oh, you messed it up. Put it back together. He's like, I'm trying to put it back together. But like, the guy never said anything. I'm like, that should have been a clue. Apparently we're supposed to keep messing with this thing. Despite the fact that we're taking it apart. So there was like these numbers on the wall, and I'm gonna spoil this one part. It's the first thing they tell you, so it's not really a spoiler. They say that the one of the clues is tomorrow is the most important day, and we happen to be doing this the day before Easter, and so there's a bunch of numbers on the wall. I was like, okay, what if I stand like a cross over the numbers? Do you think that what's behind me? And one of the guys inside with us started laughing. I'm like, all right, he's laughing. That can't be it. And then afterwards he goes, that Easter thing cracked me up.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would say they put some pretty hard puzzles together. And, like, you definitely have to make some good connections. Like, and be very observant if you go. And just mess with everything unless they tell you not to.
And that's one thing, is like one of the puzzles that led to a bigger puzzle, led to another puzzle. Well, once you got the answer to that, that was part of another puzzle, and once you got the answer to that, that was the end of another puzzle. Stephanie and a couple of them were stuck on this one part of the puzzle that it was like they were stuck on it for so long, it was like, you guys, just fuck it, never mind. Just work on the next puzzle over, and then maybe you can reverse engineer it, because you guys are taking way too long on this part of the puzzle.
Oh, there's so closeness. Like, well, we were really close, but we just didn't make the leap, next leap.
And I can't say what this is, but, like, there was this number we were supposed to guess at one point, and I guessed the clue that it was given, I guessed wrong just because I'm an idiot, but I was actually right because of one extra clue that was supposed to adjust the number. I'm like, I would have been right for being an idiot.
Go me, I think.
Good times.
So yes, get your friends together, do it. And now that I've told everyone about it, like, everyone wants to do, like, three separate groups are like, oh, you should come do that with us. I'm like, oh, fuck, like, there's only one other room. I've done the one already. I know how to solve it. Every time it would be hilarious just go in and just solve it like that. Because basically, if you know the answer, like, you could solve it in, like, what, less than 5 minutes?
Well, yeah, but you'd still have to go through all the steps because they won't let you just go do it.
They,
like,
won't?
If you just, like, jump to the end and don't solve any of the steps, they'll be like, wait a minute.
Have you done this before?
And that's why I was saying we should all come back in disguises. Hello! We are Guy Incognito.
I think you should look over here.
Hey, don't break anything except that thing over there. Take that apart, because I think there's probably some shit inside there.
Yeah, look, once it became like, let's solve these riddles, I was like, okay, I will just be Guy looking for things hidden in the room, because I am not solving any of these riddles.
So there you go. That was our week. And I'm glad it was a surprise for you.
All right.
That was a great surprise. It was, and then, even bigger surprise, is we were supposed to go to Benihana's next door. And it turned out Danelle had made the reservations for the day after.
Oh.
Because she did it online. And I think they just changed the date on her because it was full the day she wanted. But she didn't know that.
Yeah.
So then, like, they're like, nope, you can't have it. And so instead, we went and got chicken and waffles, which was way better in my opinion.
All right.
It was pretty delicious.
I don't have time for some Benihana. I do have time for a biscuit, some chicken wings, some waffles, chocolate milkshake, and I had all those things. And that was back when my stomach could handle it.
And I had one red velvet waffle and one sweet potato waffle, and it made me happy.
Whew, he was so happy when he learned he could have one of each. He's like, do I want the red velvet? Do I want the sweet potato? I don't know. He's like, you could have one of both. Oh!
Sir, did you just come? Yes!
Sometimes I forget, people accommodate you and give you options, and it's a wonderful thing.
Well, I think we are getting too late in the day to do our worst movie ever contest, unless we can get it all done in 7 minutes.
I can do mine pretty quick.
And you're so funny.
Oh, no, I can.
I was wondering.
Well, now we only have 6 minutes.
Repurpose it and, just simplify it. Like, maybe you just, each person comes with, five bullet points of, this is why this movie is sucky, or 10, or whatever, to shorten
it
up.
I guess. The point was it was supposed to be fun while we made fun of the movies.
Yes.
All right. Just an idea.
It's not a chore, Noah.
What do you guys think of it, listeners, by the way, who comment? One listener said they weren't a fan, but I'd like to hear what the other listeners have to say.
I love how we just sat there silently like they were going to speak up.
Yep, well, boy, they're quiet.
This is the part where you talk back to us. We can hear you.
Anyways, go ahead.
All right.
Worst movie ever!
You got 3 minutes. Go.
Okay. So I saw Caligula.
My name is Bob Guccione. I promise to make a new kind of motion picture. A picture so controversial, so innovative in its magnitude, that it would fundamentally change the viewing habits of the theater-going public. I made that film, and it's called Caligula. Being a revolutionary, if striking new ground for the first time, if experiencing something that no one has ever felt before is as important to you as it is to me, I recommend that you see and experience Caligula.
An analysis film release for mature audiences only.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's about my reaction.
To get that one.
Now, apparently, I saw the edited down to R version, which means now I've gone back and seen some of the...
You can't even jerk off to it? Fuck that.
There's still a lot of nudity, and there's a lot of wiener if that's what you're into too. But you can tell that the person who made it had a vision, and then you can tell that somebody else edited it and just chopped that vision to shit. It seems like every single shot in the movie, because it's the guy who owns Penthouse who was actually doing the editing, because he kicked the director out of the editing booth and then chopped everything up. There's scenes where it's just like half the scene's out of focus. It's like pretty clear that it was just a scene where they were doing, a blocking take or whatever. There's a shitload of scenes where it's like, now we're going to zoom in for no reason. Now we're going to zoom out for no reason. And again, it's pretty clear that it was just the camera people were practicing. So it's it was almost like I watched a dress rehearsal for the movie Caligula. And then on top of that, shit just happens in out of order. Malcolm McDowell does a lot of laughing and then screaming. In fact, I like Tim did, took a bunch of notes here. He's yelling again. He's laughing again. Good Lord, is this the scene where he's going to fist the guy? Oh, thank God, they cut it out of this version.
That is the only thing I remember, is that he got to have sex with the wife, and then he fists that guy with that huge fucking ring.
Yep. He's yelling again. He's laughing again. Helen Mirren is dancing. Malcolm McDowell thinks it's a great dance! Yeah. So she does this, I guess it's supposed to be sexy dance while she's pregnant, in front of a bunch of people, where I guess it's supposed to be inappropriate. Then a bunch of whores pile on top of Malcolm McDowell for some reason. And then when she's done, he gives the thumbs up, and he's like, yeah! Wow, that was out of place. So the movie starts with him frolicking in apparently burning woods, because there is so much fucking smoke, with a chick that he loves, and you find out later that that's his sister. Later, there's a scene where she's talking to him about how he needs to get married. He doesn't want to get married, because he just wants to love his sister. Then romantic music starts, and you think, oh, this is a romantic scene. Then you realize, this is a romantic scene where his sister gives him an HJ.
HJ! You have 60 seconds.
So, see this movie if you want to see Malcolm's McDowell or Helen's Mirren's. Don't see this movie if you like movies that make sense. focus on one character while they're talking, and don't just have a lot of kind of floppy nudity for no fucking reason.
All done?
All done.
All right. So I saw The Love Guru.
When it comes to love,
I was put on this earth to spread a message of love.
One man is in a position to help.
It's my time to shine!
Take a look at this. The Toronto Maple Leafs will pay you $2 million if you can get Darren Roanoke back with his wife in time to win the Stanley Cup.
The second best guru in the world is coming to town.
How do you do? Shrimp?
What'd you call me?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your gnome. Name! You are a midget.
Paramount Pictures and Spyglass Entertainment present.
Rajneesh, I'd like an alligator soup and make it snappy. Because alligators are snappy, and at the same time, I want it prompt.
Dicker!
Yes?
What's capital of Thailand?
Bangkok?
Exactly!
Oh! Mike Myers. Jessica Alba.
Oh! Oh!
So, Jane, boyfriend?
Nope.
Girlfriend?
Well, I mean, there was one time in college.
Really?
What was that?
I didn't hear anything.
Justin Timberlake.
Someone ordered a special Quebec pizza, and, you know, like in the porno.
The Love Guru.
Oh, goodness.
Which I texted you both, that I realized later you both have seen and talked about on Tancast before.
I have not seen Love Guru.
You have seen Love Guru. Go back to listen to episode 14 of Tancast, and you talk about having seen it.
Noah has blocked it out of seeing it.
I love how he's going to argue with me. You said it!
And maybe I lied, but I have not seen
you
Love
said
Guru.
It!
I have not seen Love Guru.
I have seen.
You saw it!
I've
you said it wasn't very good.
Parts of Love Guru.
I think I've only seen parts, if anything.
You are a lying bastard!
Maybe, all right, maybe I have seen Love Guru. I'll take
yeah,
it back.
You fucking saw it.
Like, wait, maybe on a Tuesday.
Although I can't find the episode where Andy talked about it, but that's the one I remember, because when the joke happened that Andy referenced the bank, it's the kind of joke that goes, what's the capital of Thailand? Bangkok. And then he punches him in the nuts. I was like, I remember Andy talking about that, but I can't find it in our episode, of whichever episode that was.
No, an actual person tried to do that to me. Dude, I just
yes,
met.
Yes, you said that, but you also said this is the movie that does these kind of jokes.
Oh, yes, okay.
Anyway, so here are my notes. Oh, sad, I forgot Stephen Colbert was in this. Poor Stephen.
He's doing
this
okay.
This is some efficient screenwriting. 3.5 minutes in, and we've already met the awkward love guru, gotten a profile of the hockey player whose wife is cheating on him with Justin Timberlake, and Jessica Alba tells Vern Troyer she's going to hire the love guru to get the hockey player's game back on track so they can win the Stanley Cup. All this before the damn credits. I feel like it actually took longer to type all that than it took to jam in all this exposition down my throat. The good news, with all this out of the way, the hilarious comedy can begin. It never did, in case you're wondering.
I figured. Having seen
Oh, Lord. An opening musical number, 9 to 5 in an Indian accent. No! John Oliver plays Dick Pants! It's his character's name. Dick Pants. Ben Kingsley just poured tea through his nose. That's where this movie's at. How is this movie not racist?
Tim, it is.
I think I might have to do a panty check. This is in quotes. I might have had some monkey mustard back there. There is no situation where you say this in front of a rich, good-looking lady and she continues talking to you completely unfazed. He says that to Jessica Alba.
Huh.
The version I'm watching has commercials. They are more interesting than the movie. Funnier, too. Another musical number? This movie would be less self-indulgent if it was footage of Mike Myers literally sucking his own dick. Jessica Alba deserves an Oscar for laughing at these jokes as though they are A, funny, B, different from the last 5 jokes that he has said. And contrived romance drama is contrived. And then I stopped writing, because fuck it. But the end of the movie is so like, this hockey player, they need... I don't know if you caught from my notes. This hockey player needs to get it back on his game so they can win the Stanley Cup.
Uh-huh.
One of the things he needs to do is confront his mother, and he's the whole movie, he's not confronting his mother, and then he confronts his mother in the span of 10 seconds. Like, that's it. Like, it all resolves itself in 10 seconds. I was like, that was it! 10 seconds! It wasn't even some meaningful ABC after-school dialogue. It's just like, hey, Ma, don't do that. I love you, son. I love you, Mom. Really? This couldn't have happened at any point other than now? Kill yourself. This movie sucked. Loved him. There you go. I'm done.
Well,
Noah, which one's worse? The movie you saw and forgot how bad it was. Your mind blocked it out because it was that shitty, or whatever Andy just said.
You know, I think I have to go with La Guru because A, what Tim said, like, I don't remember seeing that fucking movie. But B, at least Caligula I could have jerked off to.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, okay.
Love Guru wins fatality.
All the wasted talent in Love Guru, like Justin Timberlake and John Oliver and Stephen Colbert and Jim Gaffigan, and
at least I can remember one scene from Caligula, although it's a very horrendous scene.
Malcolm McDowell, Peter O'Toole, Helen Mirren.
I'm not even done. Jessica right. Alba. They wasted Jessica Alba's ass.
Gore Vidal.
Who?
Gore Vidal. Yeah,
exactly, Andy.
Is he half of Vidal Sassoon?
Yes.
Well, they don't look good. We don't look good.
Nice try, Andy. Okay. You got to pick people. actors people know.
If you're interested in subjecting yourself to this, it's on Comcast On Demand for free right now. Love, Guru.
No, Gore Vidal's not an actor.
Oh, so, there.
He's a novelist, playwright, etc. He wrote it.
Man. Nah. Again, pick
get some fucking culture, dude. You live in the city. It's not all waffle trucks and fucking big wheel competitions.
You sure about that, buddy?
Started like it was going to be full of insult bravado, and then it ran out of gas.
I know. I'm tired. I stayed up late watching fucking Caligula.
You know what? I stayed up late grabbing my stomach. I don't want to hear it.
Okay. You know what I love is, like, if you go back and listen to last week's episode, there's a bunch of things where Tim makes jokes, and then I said something about, like, a huge wet shit, and Tim laughs himself silly. Little did we know, all of it prophetic.
You cursed him, Andy.
Well, Tim cursed himself because there's a lot of literal shit talking that Tim is doing.
And that's Sandcast for this week.
Yes. As we're stumbling to an end.
Remember, never trust. I'll come back.
You're doing it like a set of bowels that just are not cooperative.
Noah?
Andy, what
do you guys? Bring this fucking thing in for a landing.
Okay. this week I hate watching Malcolm McDowell put a bunch of lard on some dude's puckered butthole. And then what happens after?
This week, remember, never trust Noah to remember a shitty movie he saw.
Fair enough.
Thanks for listening to this waste of the internet known as the Tancast Podcast. We're now back on iTunes. You can go and subscribe to us and leave us a comment. You can go to Tancast.com for links to our store, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also email us at yourmom@tancast.com. Thanks as always to DJ Technoid for making the official Tancast theme. Alright, I think we've wasted enough of your time this week. Come back to Tancast soon, and next time, bring a friend.
Tancast.
Oh, and my son had a third birthday party yesterday. Didn't feel the need to mention it.
No. Happy birthday tomorrow and yesterday.
Yeah, I saw pictures. Didn't hear about it. No invite.
We felt you would have felt obligated to come and then be like, why the fuck am I here? So we didn't tell you.
Was there any hot single moms there?
Nope.
Well, it doesn't matter. I can still fuck them.
There was a lukewarm married mom.
I'm getting
I mean,
so big
there was a super hot married mom, but that one's mine. You can't have her.
Oh, well played, Tim. Well played.
Instead of an afterward thing, I think I'll find that clip of Noah talking about having seen the Love Guru and throw it in at the end.
That's a good idea. You should really cut as much of other episodes into this one as possible because this one needs to be punched up.
We're talking about Andy and I's old roommate, Joe.
He used to be the Tim. I mean, he used to be the Noah.
I know.
Yep.
It would be the Tajcast.
Welcome to Tajcast. Who would speak with Indian accents?
I watched Love Guru.
Why? What's wrong with you?
I mean, your little I made me think.
I know, but why'd you watch it?
Because it was free.
Okay. Lots of things are free. I'll give you a free kick in the nuts. You won't want it.
No, I won't. I was curious about how bad it was, and it was pretty bad. It wasn't as bad as Roman Michelle's High School Reunion, because I hate that movie, but it wasn't very funny. It was like a lot of, I told you about this, where it's just him doing, like, it seemed like he was doing his Austin Power characters. Like, he was saying lines that totally seemed like they could have been like an Austin Powers
movie. It was Mike Myers mugging.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just make a fourth Austin Powers movie?
probably would have been better. I mean, he had, like, had Mini-Me. Did have Seth Green.
Well, he, you know, he's wicked busy making puppets.
Yes.
For not Monsters, Inc. What is it called?
He's going to be on Heroes, I hear. Him and Seth Breckenmeyer, whoever that guy's name is.
Oh, his name's Breckenmeyer.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know why.
Seth Breckenmeyer.
It's all one person. Although Justin Timberlake was kind of funny. He's like, he's playing this French-Canadian guy that had a huge cock. So sometimes you saw him on Speedo and had this big ball, and every time he pulls his pants down, people are like, oh. That was one part. Mini-Me or whatever his character's name was in that movie. Love Girl was always making fun of him, and, you know, the little guy didn't like it. So he goes up to him and goes, what's the capital of Thailand? And you know, I saw it was coming. But, you know, Love Girl was like, I don't know. Bangkok! And she puts him in the nuts. That was funny. I like people can punch in the nuts, what can I say?
Yeah, it's a good job.
But yeah, overall, it wasn't a good movie. It just seemed kind of random and just thrown together. And a lot of famous, like, Val Kilmer was in it. The girl from SVU, which they would say her name all the time as their blessing. The girl plays Olivia on Law & Order SVU. Mershna Hargita, whatever her name is. But she was
Marge
in it.
Marge Helgenberger?
No.
Marg.
Wait, you're talking about CSI, aren't you, Andy?
Yeah, I know. I was just throwing an extra name out there because, no, it was kind of trailing off.
You're a douche.
Yes, I know.
All right. Anyways, there's some other famous people in the beginning. But, yeah, it just wasn't that funny. I was just like, yeah. That's sad. I wonder if he's going to get any work after this. I'm sure he will, but...
Of course he
Mike
will.
Myers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's doing fine. Yeah.
I'm sure it doesn't matter if he does or not. Oh, but wait a minute. We got to do Tancast Past Tense Movie Review.